ourselves in Jesus' name. We offer ourselves. Come and work in us. Do the work of salvation in us as we give attention to your word and then we act on it. We present ourselves in Jesus' name, Father. Have your way among us. In the midst of every difficult circumstance in our lives, glorify Jesus, because he's more than enough. In the midst of every good circumstance in our life, glorify Jesus, because he is the reason why. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We cry out to you that you would open the eyes of our hearts even more. You would open the eyes of our hearts. Let us know you. Teach us your ways. Help us to walk in the great things you have called us into in Jesus. And so I ask, Father, for utterance in the opening of my mouth, and at the same time, a guard to be set over it. What is just the opinions of man, this man, or men, or people, or whatever is popular, blow it away and make it of no effect. But what is yours? What is the precious truth of God that saves us? Help us to hear it, to receive it, and to do it, Father. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for the help of your presence. You lead us into the truth, and we welcome you. You who began this good work in us, we remember you are faithful to complete it. So we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can do it, and you're willing to do it, quietly say to the Lord, yes, Lord. Okay. I'm going to wrap up this series on working out your salvation today. And we're going to end by what we've been talking about, and that is using his word. Okay, I'm always tempted to go back and give a review because one of the ways that we learn is to hear something over and over again. But at the same time, I'm always running out of time. So we're going to run and jump right into it. We're going to read a number of scriptures that I'll then refer to. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. Anup, I'm not sure if you see the note. No, on the computer. My teaching note is there if you want to see the. I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to talk to you about it already. But if you open that notes file, you should be able to see it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4. Then we're going to go to James chapter 1. Then we're going to go to Job chapter 22, Mark chapter 11, Romans chapter 10, John 15. Lots of things to read. But I do ask that you would give your attention. Maybe you know what, we'll break that up. Let's get to Proverbs chapter 4 and James chapter 1 first. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. What is life to those who find them, and health to all their body? His words. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Okay? James chapter 1. Beginning to read in verse 21. Actually, let me go back to 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Okay. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, He has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Okay? Stop there. I'm actually going to do one more. Mark chapter 11, because we'll need that. Oh. Well, let me read this. Let's read in verse 20. Let's skip straight to verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." Okay? We could read the next verse about forgiveness, and it ties into everything that we're talking about, but for the sake of time, we'll just stay right there. We've been talking most recently about the practicalities of how we work out this salvation. I will remind you, God has given to every person who has put their trust in Jesus a great salvation. Okay? It is granted to us. The doorway into experiencing it, according to Peter, is through promise. Okay? Whether you like it or not, just the way it is. Okay? God's way for you to experience what Jesus secured is through promise. Okay? It's through, let me put it differently, it's through faith. Okay? God makes a promise. You need to believe it and act on it, and the result is salvation. Right? In our consideration of working out our salvation, amongst the things that we've done is we've talked about the need to do it. So you need to stand against the idea that if God wants you to experience something, it's all on Him. And so we're just all waiting around for God to finally do it. And while we're waiting, we don't get mad. We make Him look good. We try. Maybe we can convince Him. That is all this nonsense. And why I say it's nonsense is it doesn't comport, doesn't line up with what the Scriptures reveal. To the Ephesians, and therefore to the rest of us who are born again, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So, the fact of the matter remains, whether you experience it or not, you are the blessed in Jesus, okay, not apart from him. How does these things work out? Well, one, we got to stand against the idea, I have no part to play. Okay? It is God who said, it is God who's at work in you, so you work it out. God is working in you, right? In Philippians, where we took this entire theme from, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. And however else you want to parse that, at the very least, it brings down to this. You have a part to play in what God has made possible for you working out. You are not condemned if you don't experience everything Jesus purchased. Okay? You are not condemned. You are not condemned if you don't experience healing in your body and you die. You are not condemned. God welcomes you, but it is available to you. And it is up to us to both work it out for our own experience, but then also to be useful in the hand of the Lord to help somebody else. And God can use even the most difficult things in our life to our advantage and to the advantage of those around us. And that's what we want. Okay? I mean, I often end up paying the consequences of stupid choices I made that the devil might have tricked me into. Right? But God is so much greater. Even there, I can overcome my adversary. Right? I experience things that I don't want to experience, maybe, but I can overcome him. Right? And I will just add, as a not a throwaway, but as an important thing, don't let your mistakes Don't let your terrible experiences go to waste. What do I mean by that? The principal thing is, get wisdom. That's what Proverbs say. So look, study. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? If it's because of so-and-so, then there's nothing I can do. But it's almost never because of so-and-so. It's what I did with what so-and-so did or responded to. And if I don't look at myself and say, the reason why this happened is because I did this, then where is the basis for repentance? Why would God ever talk to us about repenting? Because there's no need for it. Just forget it. Move on. No. Get wisdom. The precious privilege of your life and mine is not our circumstances lining up with blessing. It is we know him. We come to know what he's like. We come to understand. We see him. We love him getting what he wants in our lives because we say yes to him instead of, no, I'm going to do this instead. Right? Okay, again, I'm going to get distracted here. So we've talked about the need to play your part. We've talked about how absolutely vital it is that you watch over your heart. It matters whether you're a hothead or not. Do not say, oh, God just made me like this. Okay, you might be a person who's, you know, your emotion. Some people are a little more cool, if you know what I mean, and other people are a little more hot, but that gives you no excuse before God to say, this is the reason why I sinned with my mouth. It matters. And it's not because you will just hurt other people. There is an atmosphere within that is necessary for you to hear God. Okay, we talked about hearing God. Have you ever wondered, maybe sometimes the reason why I have a challenge hearing God is I'm so loud on the inside with all my accusations, all my worries, and all my busyness, and all my, that there is no place to hear him. You know, he says in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. And we just make songs about it, but don't actually listen to what he's saying. It is normal for us to hear his voice, but it is not normal to hear his voice when the hurricane is blowing inside you. So we need to learn to still that. That's not on God. He didn't say, I'll watch over your heart. Okay? So whether you like it or not, you've got to accept. He told us, you and me, watch over your hearts. Because it must matter, right? In fact, the way he puts it is, because the issues of life actually flow from there. Okay, so that is vital. That is absolutely vital. That we keep ourselves in the love of God. That we are setting our minds on things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are excellent. It matters what goes on inside you. Don't let any unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Right? Put on a heart of compassion. Yeah, the person who did what they did is an idiot and a jerk and he should have known better, but you're called to not let that come on the inside by putting on a heart of compassion. Right? It's not to say we don't get angry or anything like that, but we watch over our hearts because it's vital. Now, most recently, we've been talking about how we need to use his word if we want to see salvation. Remember, you and I, we were dead in our trespasses and sins when he called us, right? We were dead, meaning we were useless for the things of God. We were useless. There was nothing impressive about us that made God think, oh, I ought to do this for him. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And yet, God being rich in mercy, he made us alive together with him, okay? Now, how did he do that? Well, he spoke. You heard his word. And it did a work in you that caused you to say, that was for me. You died for me, and I'm willing to receive you. Okay? And we've been looking to see, okay, so if it was God, in other words, we didn't convince God to save us. We didn't give God the good idea, hey, maybe you ought to save these people. It was all in God's heart, right? So in other words, God wanted to save you. So we can reasonably conclude God wants me also then to experience all of his salvation. In other words, from his side, this is not a, if you impress me enough, then maybe I'll give you this. It is in his heart that you be healed. It is in his heart that you are, what's the word? peaced, shalom, that you be a person in whom nothing is broken and nothing is missing. This is not a reward in the sense of, if you do all the right things, you can earn this from me. This is what is in his heart for every person to experience. But there is a way that it happens. I say all that, again, to reinforce, we do not stand firm against the idea that this is about convincing God to do something for you. It's not. He's already given it to us. As again, from Ephesians, we have been blessed. Not if you mind your P's and Q's, you will be blessed. That was the law. But God completely turned it around. Even before you knew you needed something from him, he already gave it. It's available. It's available to you. But there is a way that it works out. And we have to come to grips with that. And one of the things that we've been seeing is it is inseparable from the work of his word in your life. Okay? So we've taken some very straightforward passages. There's so many places you could go that reinforce this. You could start all the way back in Genesis. Okay? When God made the heavens and the earth. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And then it says, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the face of the deep, whatever that is. And then God speaks and something happens. So from the very beginning, the effect that God wants is accomplished not by him snapping his fingers, but him speaking. Okay? Now, we're not talking about creating universes inside of us or anything like that. I'm just showing you that this idea of his word being essential for what he wants to see happen in us starts right from the beginning. It's not a new idea. It's from the beginning. Okay? And now, I want you to pay attention to what we saw in Proverbs chapter 4. Okay? Let me quickly go back there. Keep your finger at, if you have your Bible with you, that is, at Mark chapter 11, because we're going to come back there. So when it comes to working out your salvation, what's the hitch? What's going on? Okay, I hope you'll agree with me. It has nothing to do with impressing God. Okay? Now, I say that, and on the one hand, to the intellect, that should be obvious, especially if you've heard enough from the scriptures from a certain perspective, right? There are people who do think you have to impress God. They won't use that word, but it is all about proving to God how devoted you are with a view to maybe he will do something for you. Okay? There are people like that. But I imagine in our circle, that's not so common. Okay, so what does he say here in Proverbs? In view of the fact that we are not trying to impress him, what does he tell us? In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Okay? Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because then you will make God look good. No. Because then he will see you are worthy of his blessing. No. Why do you need to keep them in the midst of your heart? Why do you need to give attention to them? Why do you need to incline your ear to them? Why do you need to keep them in the midst of your heart? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Now, you may or may not be a Hebrew scholar. There's enough tools on the online now that you can pretend to be a Hebrew scholar. Okay, if you don't think that word there is health, please come back and tell me. But I also can use those tools, and it's not hard to make the case when he means health, he actually also means physical health in addition to everything else. There's just no way around it. What is health to your body? Your good, sincere intentions. No. What is health to your body? Your desperate need to be healed. No. What is health to your body? His sayings, his word. So what do you need to do? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Give your attention to them. So what is our assignment as far as Proverbs chapter 4 is concerned if we want to see his word worked out? Again, not to convince him, oh yeah, they mean business. Yeah. I mean, if they didn't mean business, they would have given up after a week. But hey, it's 5 weeks now. No. Every place where God has a conversation with somebody that he's working in that has to do with that person needing to succeed, there is a conversation, oh, I shouldn't say every place. I can think of many places where the conversation centers on, let this word be in you. Okay, go back to Joshua. So many different examples that we could use, okay? So the experience of what Jesus secured for us, salvation, is available to us through his word. Why? Because he so wants you to have it. The word does not just tell us what is available to us. It enables us to actually experience it. It will do a work. And this is the thing that I sometimes think we don't understand. Again, we have an adversary who is very busy trying to trip us up. And we very easily slide back into, for the lack of a better way of putting it, the law. I need to read my Bible 3 times a day because, and though we won't say it, because I know God is mad at me and this is the problem. So let me get that, let me get him off my back. Let me convince him, because the reason why I haven't experienced healing is God is just not happy with me. He's just not happy with me. He's just not happy with me. Let me try and change that. Okay? If you were willing to express some of the thoughts that you have inside of you about why you do experience what you experience when it comes to God, if you could vocalize them, you actually might see through them much faster than just having it churn in your head. There's something about when it comes out that you say, that is the stupidest thing I could have ever thought, right? Is there anybody besides me that has ever had to wrestle with the idea, God does not love me? Technically, yes, but practically, no. Anybody, okay? Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I'll put my hand up. I am willing to bet that every one of us, you just don't want to admit it. Every one of us has wrestled with that idea. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're in that state, you don't want to say anything about it. It just is a thing that churns inside. But the moment you say, I think God does not love me, immediately it's exposed for what that is, a bald-faced lie. Because Jesus gave himself for me. Why would he give himself for somebody he does not care about? That's ridiculous. So likewise, some of these things, if we're willing to say it, the reason why I don't experience healing is, if you admit that before God, that would be more useful to you than trying to work through it on the inside, as it were. But nevertheless, leaving that aside, God gives us a prescription. My word has come to do this for you. What is your part in it? What is your part in it? Be aware that Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 is in your Bible. Correct? Well, that's a help. But what does it tell us to do? Like the idea of God's word. It's not what it told us to do. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Do not let them depart from your sight. Now, yes, some figurative language is being used, but the sense of it is what? Come and visit it once in a while. Be aware of it. Kind of have the idea. See, the problem oftentimes is what is ruling our experience about the salvation of God, be it healing or prosperity or whatever, oftentimes is our affection for the word, not actually doing what the word says. We like the idea of God healing us. We don't like the idea of keeping his word in our hearts. But this is the assignment. Okay? This is the assignment. I'm not going to go to John chapter 15. Ah, you know what? Let's go to John chapter 15. It just reinforces what I just said. Heavens. 15 verse 8. 15 verse 5 to 8, sorry. I am the vine. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask some of the things you wish, and it will be done for you. It's not what it says. If you ask for reasonable things, if you ask for possible things, Now, I being a little bit facetious, and I got to be careful, because somebody hearing this might think I'm being serious. I'm not being serious. But I will also say, God will meet you where you're at. But the point that he's making is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, not if my Holy Spirit abides in you, not if Jesus abides in you, if my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Okay? Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God in verse 22. Okay, do you remember? The story here is Jesus walked by, cursed a fig tree, which has its own issues. Okay? But leaving that aside, fig tree, cursed, off they go. He didn't give it a second thought. Next day, in this record, in the, I think it's Luke where it's recorded, it says immediately the fig tree dried up. But here it says the next day is when they notice what happened. Peter sees the tree and says, hey, the fig tree is dried up. Right? And he wasn't informing Jesus. He's obviously astonished. Right? So Jesus uses that opportunity and he says, have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, only me, I'm the only one who can do this, is not what it says. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Now, I don't know what your experience is with this verse. I will again remind you, it starts off with Jesus himself saying, truly, okay? Which, as we talked about before, that's his indicator to say, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that you think is going to be ridiculous, but it's true. So, herein lies our model for how we experience the salvation of God, okay? Would you not agree? I did not write these words. That's what it says, okay? Who is it that will see a mountain moved into the sea? Somebody who believes, has no doubt, what they say is going to happen. It will be done for him. It may not be done, you know, let's not even get into that. But that's who this is works for. How do you get there? So let me put it this way. Why does God want his word to abide in you? And you abide in him because thereby whatever you wish will be given to you. I hope you see a connection between what he says in John and what he says here. Okay? Here is a model for the working out of our salvation. Where we need to get to is, I believe, I have no doubt, and I speak. Okay? How do we get there? Let that word stay in your heart. Let that word stay in your heart. You may be familiar with teachings that just say, you got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you say. Don't say anything negative, and they've missed the point. They've missed the point. The issue is not so much the words that you say, because as if you stub your toe and you yell out a yelp. Oh my goodness. The issue is not so much the words that you say as much as what is it that's abiding in your heart from which you say the words that you say. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, it's a two-way process. The words that you say can fill your heart, but what God is after is that you are so abiding in this word that what comes out of you is what he says, right? Where are you going to get the immovable faith to believe something that he says and have no doubt? Where are you going to go to get that? Okay, what? You're going to program yourself? The only way to... I cannot imagine anything that I could do sufficiently well to cause me to come to a place where I have no doubt about something. Especially me. I think about, part of my challenge is, because I like to think about things, but the problem is, I end up thinking about one thing that is right and eight things why it's not true. And they all seem reasonable to me, right? That's a double-mindedness. I'm not trying to be double-minded, but I can see, yeah, I could do that, but, where am I going to go to find what I need to believe and have no doubt? Only his word can do that for you. Only his word. That's why he says, don't let it depart from your sight. keep it in the midst of your heart. How long does that take? Every one of us is different, but the assignment is the same. Whatever you need to do, keep what God has said about the thing you're dealing with in your heart. How? You need to speak it. Meditating is going to involve saying something, okay? But my point here is I want to make sure that I don't confuse these two. I'm not just saying, say this enough times. Because the issue is not fill up your quota of saying Psalm 103, for example. The issue is say Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, long enough until you actually believe it without any question. That's the assignment. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not like God has a counter. How many times have you said it? Well, we're starting at 100,000. He's down to 93,000. When he gets to zero, okay, then we can heal him. That is not the case. For some people, it's immediate. For other people, it takes time. And you don't got to apologize for who you are and where you're at. Okay? I'm not saying everything you've done and say is due is fine, but God does not require of you to be further along with him before you start these things. Wherever you're at, good, fine. Take it. But understand, the assignment is not say it a bunch of times. It is let it so deeply work in you that you believe it without any doubting. And then, okay? We're going to end here because I have to put it, but we are nowhere near. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know that we're near enough to actually make it work. There is two parts to how salvation works out. If you go to Romans chapter 10, I'm almost done. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? It's verse 10 that I want to draw your attention to. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Okay? So what was required for you to experience salvation? There needs to be a believing and then a speaking in view of believing. Okay? This is where, for example, we get our idea about how to be born again, right? You know, the way that we talk to people about Jesus is actually not, those particular things, you need to give your heart to the Lord or whatever, is not actually expressed in Scripture that way, okay? But that's okay. The issue is you hear about Jesus, you believe it, and therefore you have a response to it, okay? The vocal, purposeful, I say something about what Jesus has done for me is necessary. Why? Because this is not a theoretical thing. It is not an intellectual thing. There is a way that it works, and God has prescribed that you believe and therefore speak. So, in your journey, whatever it might be, maybe it's healing, maybe it's whatever it is that makes up us, God has a solution for in Jesus. And I don't want to prescribe. I think healing is probably a big deal for most people. Okay? I want to be healed. There are things going on in my body that are not in keeping with health. And I see that God says stuff like, by his wounds I am healed. So where is it? Might be where I'm starting off. Okay? And people get very frustrated. They get very frustrated, partly because we have not learned the discipline of being humble before the Lord. Be careful what I'm saying. What I mean is, almost by programming, we always think what we're going through is somebody else's fault. So my not being healed, of course, is God's fault. The thing is, if you say to your wife, it's your fault that I'm the way that I am, she might just have a reaction to that that is not so pleasant. So you avoid saying anything, okay? But God never strikes you back. And so it's easy to blame him. It's just extremely costly, right? So one of the things that God does is works with us for us to come to the point where we were finally willing to say, in safety, I was the idiot. Let me not use idiot. I was the fool. I am the one who's like a horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle to bring me back. And I ask you to forgive me. Okay? That's a necessary part. We tend to blame God when God is always our solution. Okay, so when it comes to healing, I don't know what your experience is. I can imagine a lot of different things. But generally speaking, healing seems to be much more complicated for us than how the scriptures seem to paint it. Okay? Well, okay, we can theorize all we want, but we've been given a solution. The question is, will you do it? Keep it in the midst of your heart. How? There's nothing magic about the number three, reading Psalm 103, for example, three times a day. It's whatever it takes for you. So that what you are preoccupied with is not your arguments, not your experience, not your whatever. You know, when somebody close to us is believing God and they die anyway, that hurts. And it has an impact on us. Okay? Well, whatever is the reason, wherever you are at, God's word can take you to the place where you believe without any doubting. Let it do so. That is not God shoving it down. You know what is it? Foie gras, this famous French delicacy. You know how it's made? They take a goose, they jam a hose down its throat and pump it full of grain because they want that liver to be fat. This is not God. He just takes you, jams a tube down your mouth and pumps you full of the word of God. Hallelujah. No, he says, my son, you give attention. What did he tell Joshua? Do not let. Not, I will make you. And we love what he says. We listen to teachings about healing. All this stuff, we just don't do it. So, today is the day of salvation. Wherever you're at, start. What is the goal? To say Psalm 103 1 million times. No, it isn't. It might take you 4 times. It could take 4 million times. Each of us is different. But this is the promise he's made. Whoever. That's why he marks it off by saying, truly, I say to you. Okay, remember, that doesn't mean all the other stuff I said wasn't true, but this is true. This is more in that context of, this sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it'll work. Okay, let me end by taking you back to James chapter 1. I don't know whether you've noticed this. Verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, if I could draw a parallel, watch over your heart. Keep what's going on in there, an environment that will allow what God wants to do to happen. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. What is he talking about? Who is he talking about? Who is he talking to first? Is this a prescription of how to get born again? Well, partly, but is that who he's talking to? People who have not yet been born again? No, this is a letter to saints, meaning they have responded to God. So why does he have to tell them, you need to do this for the salvation of your souls? What is he getting at? I'm already saved. What is he getting at? Humbly receive the word implanted, which is what? Able to save your souls. I'm at the end, so I can't keep going. But there is a kind of a way that God does things. You want to be physically healed? Yes, he does miracles. But what the norm is to heal you from the inside out. Our trouble tends to be the state of our souls. In this sense, okay? Not in the sense of, 36 souls were lost when the ship went down. But in this sense, the inside of us does not agree with what God says, so we don't experience salvation. What is the solution? Humbly receive the word implanted. Keep your word, keep his word in the midst of your heart. Do not let them depart from your sight. Why? Because they are life. And health. So that's what we need to work on. Okay, we can help one another. As a starting point, I gave Psalm 103, right? But obviously, that's not where you need to stop. Are you concerned about your health? Well, Find verses that talk about what he has said and keep them in the midst of your heart. Are you concerned about something else? Find what he has said. You have no right to expect the experience of something God has not purchased. But what God has purchased is available for you. How? Well, the issue is going to boil down to, can you declare this will happen with no doubting? If not, what is that a sign of? You're an evil, foolish, backslidden saint. No, it isn't. It's a sign of you're not ready. But here's where the work is. Why is it so hard? Okay, now, please remember, I don't want to have to be in the situation of trying to act like I got this all worked out. You people need to get your act together. I have the same issues too. But God doesn't change what he says. Okay, Titus, you've gone through enough. It's not by the word. I'll just flip a switch. It's not God speaking. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you struggling with healing? Take courage. God wants you well. Are you convinced that he wants you well? Of course I am. I read the teaching. Yeah, that's fine. Are you able to say now to your body, you have been healed, and this sickness is eradicated from my body, and have no doubt about it? If not, what goes on in your mind about that? That's just impossible. Well, yeah, for a man it would be. But with God, nothing is impossible. So his word has come. Work with it. Meditate on it. That looks a little bit different for each person, but meditate on it. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Work with it. With the goal of, it is possible for me to say to my body, this is done, and have no question. Okay? I didn't get a chance. Job chapter 22. One of the promises offered to a man who is righteous with God is, you will declare a thing, and it will be established. I fear I fell far short of getting across the magnificence, the brilliance, the extraordinary, astonishing, amazing wisdom of God to do it this way. I fear that it just gets lost in instruction and do this and all that kind of stuff. But I wish we could perceive the brilliance of God of doing it this way, because it'll work for even you. That is just an extraordinary thing. He's got no problem with where I am. He just wants me to work with him. I can dig my feet in. Fine. He won't love me any less. You are not loved more if you prosper. You are not loved more if you're healed. You will not love more if you finish your time on earth as opposed to leaving before the time. You're not loved more. Okay? So this has nothing to do with impressing God, but it's available to you. So let's pursue it. I want you and I want us as a church to be able to say to the Lord, when you come back, if we're here, you will find faith on the earth, because I'll be here. We're talking about me. I'll be here. How did you get there? I let his word rule in my heart. I kept it. I kept working with it until it was abiding in me. It changed how I thought, and I said something, and it came to pass. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but I'll just say it. You know, so keeping it in your heart is going to involve your mouth. But at some point, it's going to come to a place of, I declare this is done. And it will be. Because you say it without any doubting, and Jesus is not lying when he said, it will be done for you. Okay? So, unfortunately, this is where I have to stop, but we'll pick up whatever it is that God has us next. I can't imagine we'll be leaving this entirely, because everything that we have to consider before him while we're here has got to do with salvation working out. But I exhort you, what's the right word? I plead with you to both be the person keeping this word in the midst of your heart. What do you got to lose? And at the same time, encouraging me and everybody else to do likewise. And let's see what God's doing. Okay? Thank you for bearing with me. Father, we commit ourselves, present ourselves, offer ourselves. Come and have your way with us in Jesus' name. Win us over to the wisdom of God. Win us over from the inside out. Win us over to the brilliance of your way and help us to run after it in Jesus' name. Make your ways plain before my face. Lead me in your everlasting way in Jesus' name.